I just want you to think for a moment, if you don't mind. By the way, I have quite an interactive style, so don't worry too much. You know, if I ask you to put your hand up or say something, please be bold and say something. The first question I've got is, what is poverty? What do you think poverty actually is? And it's interesting, actually. If you look in the Oxford Dictionary, it defines poverty as the state of being poor. But unfortunately, that doesn't really address what we are going to be thinking about this morning, because the people that we are going to be thinking about are not, it's too tame to describe them as being in poverty. It's more accurate to describe them as being in extreme poverty. And this is one of the reasons why I find this work so challenging to talk about, because in my life, I've always known where my next meal is coming from. I've never been in the position of not knowing where it's coming from. Now, what I have here in this jar are a few grains of rice, and I'm going to pass this round this morning. Right? Just imagine that you were part of a family and that those few grains of rice were all you had for the family for the day. That's all you had. All right. So when you look at it, just imagine how you would feel. If you just pass that round to everybody, please, that would be fantastic. When you get that jar, just try to imagine how you would feel if that's all you had to eat for a day. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's Harvest Sunday today. And as it was announced this morning, I was thinking, well, what if you don't have a harvest? What happens then? Tirfan's vision, around the world, we have a 10-year vision to see 50 million people released from material and spiritual poverty through a worldwide network of 100,000 local churches. So it's a 10-year vision to see 50 million people released from material and spiritual poverty. Now, in this country, material poverty exists. We all know this. You've only got to ask yourself the question, why has the work of things like food banks been so enthusiastically taken up? It's because there are great needs. But to some extent here in England, we have a safety net. For example, we have a minimum wage. But when we're talking about extreme poverty, these countries don't have things like that. And it's the sheer numbers that are absolutely astonishing. The people we're talking about who are living in these sort of conditions might be as much as 25% of the world's population, as John Stott famously quoted. You know, they're living on less than $1 a day. That's what they're living on, less than $1 a day. So the issue is, as much as anything else, global poverty. And that's to say nothing about spiritual poverty, because Tear Fund is not only concerned with helping people to feed themselves and have enough and clean water, like we've mentioned already, but they're also concerned about their spiritual well-being. How many people around the world do not have a living, meaningful relationship with God? They don't know that Jesus loves them. They don't know about forgiveness of sin. And so another reason why I am so committed to the work of Tear Fund is because their vision and way of doing things is to try and work through local partners. And in every country that they work in, they try and work with local partners, local churches who know what the local needs are. The leaders of those churches know who are the people, who are the families in greatest need. In Psalm 82, notice, by the way, this is an Old Testament reference, not a New Testament reference. But in Psalm 82, the words of those verses say, defend the weak and the fatherless. And it's that first word, defend, which is very challenging. Because it's an active word. To defend something is an action. And then, uphold the cause of the poor. We have people living in poverty, I'm sure, around here. I know they do where I live. And the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Those words are action words. They're hopefully not just ideals to be thought about, but they should result in some sort of action. Now, I know that many of you know quite a lot about the work of Tear Fund, and so I'm not going to spend very long on this, but I just need to give you a handle on the four areas that they are concerned with. The first one is working with those people in greatest need. And this is why I emphasize right at the start, working with the people in extreme poverty, those who are in the greatest amount of need around the world. Working with local Christian leaders to help identify that and bring about change in the local community. But Tear Fund is also very keen on helping out when there are disasters. And I haven't put it up there, but it wasn't that long ago when the earthquake struck in Haiti. And more recently, it's only 1 year, just over 1 year, since Nepal suffered a terrible tragedy with an earthquake there, which damaged many buildings, left a lot of people homeless, but also cut off food supplies and damaged water courses. Now today, we're not going to be focusing on Nepal, because Tear Fund's current focus is based on sub-Saharan Africa. And these are countries that border the Sahara Desert region, so it's bound to be very hot and difficult. And Chad is a country experiencing those difficulties at the moment. And there are similar problems, if you don't know. They haven't hit the headlines, but there's similar problems in Ethiopia. And also, people in Tear Fund care about life's essentials, the kind of things that perhaps we take for granted, like a secure food supply and like clean water. And I'm sure most of you know this already, but it's just worth saying that the idea that Tear Fund live and die by, as it were, is that it's establishing these local relationships with local Christian leaders, but it's also involving them in the way in which that development might go on in their own community. So it's led by the community. And Tear Funds try very hard not to have people going out and telling communities what to do, because that would be counterproductive. It's much better for the local leaders, the local churches, to be involved and driving it themselves. Often Tear Fund employ consultants, and these go out and they give advice as to how best to use the available resources. And as I've said already, I've mentioned it implicitly, they try to avoid people becoming dependent, but rather helping them to solve and look for solutions in their own local community. And it's interesting, when you look at some of the projects that Tear Fund's involved with, it's very often about using land more effectively. It's about using what they have already got. Now, if you are in a country like Chad, if you don't know, What they're suffering from is a combination of factors which are leading to failed crops, a very, very dry climate with water increasingly difficult to get hold of, and crops failing. But there is another thing that I just like to mention about Chad. I'm going to ask you a question, and if you know, please shout out the answer. Chad is not primarily a Christian country. Do any of you know what it is? Yes, it's a Muslim country. Primarily a Muslim country. Now, if you look at the league tables on poverty, Chad is more or less, if I can put it in a sporting context, they're in like the relegation zone. They are the fourth poorest country in the world. And that is so difficult for us here. I've never been to Chad. It's so difficult for us to get our heads around what that might mean. They are the fourth poorest country in the world. Their food supplies are insecure. They've, as I've mentioned already, they have ongoing shortages with water. And most tragically of all, I mean, I've got three sons, and I've now got one lovely granddaughter who's aged just over one. The children, because in a sense they're so powerless, they are the ones who are most at risk. And the mortality figures tell us, this is only an estimate, one in five don't make it to the age of 5 years old. One in five. So, what can you do about it? Well, one of the reasons why I passed around the jar is because I couldn't exactly replicate some of the food sources that people who are desperate try and employ or use. But one of them seems to be seeds. And these are seeds that are dragged by ants. And these ants bury these seeds in their nests to feed their young. And what some people do in Chad is actually to try and dig up these seeds and then produce some food from it. But there is another solution which some people use. And it's this. I'm just going to hold this up. I hope you can all see it. I'm going to pass it around in a minute. All right. This is a hand-woven basket. The hand-woven basket. And if you make one of these baskets, I've got two questions here. All right, here it is, thank you. Here it is here. This is this basket. I'm going to hold it, I'm going to pass it around in a moment. How many days does it take to make one of these? Any ideas? How many days? Three? More than three? More, yeah, 5 days to make one of these. I mean, personally, I don't even know where to start, right? Okay, but the people who know how to make them, it takes 5 days. And I'll pass that around if you could just have a look at that. Great, thank you. 5 days. Next question. How many meals, if you sell that basket in the local market, how many meals will it buy food for the family? How many? Any ideas? Yes? One? More than one? Two. Two meals. So, to give you an idea of the scale, it's taken almost a week to produce the basket, but it only provides enough food for two meals. And that is the backdrop to what you're going to see now, because some of Tearfund's staff have been to Chad recently, and they've made this film, and I'd just like you to, is it possible we can show this now? Yep, to show the film, to see the film, and you can see some of these issues that I've been speaking about this morning coming up, okay?
Jumana is not without hope. Jesus and his church are here. but she and her children are hungry. This thin soup is all she can give them today. Her family are farmers, but she has had to turn to weaving because their crops have failed in the drought and scorching heat. The bitter irony is that while a basket takes 5 days to make, she can only sell it for enough to buy food for 2 meals. We must help them. Tearfund's call is to the places of greatest need. We're in Jumana's village, shoulder to shoulder with families close to starvation, bringing long-term solutions as well as emergency food that will save lives. Food that will feed Jumana's children.
The only day that my daughter Yasmin was happy was the day they distributed foodstuff to us. I was able to prepare good food for my children.
Through their faith and hard work, the local church, supported by Tear Fund, are bringing hope to this village.
Jesus fed a huge number in his time. So he would act. He would act so that the community could have something to put on the table.
Because of the work of the local church, Jumana has hope. Jesus is here. But tonight, her children go to sleep hungry again. Her basket is empty. You can help fill it. Please, give like Jesus.
Now, I wouldn't blame you if you were sitting there feeling a little bit overwhelmed by all of this. I wouldn't blame you at all. Because here we are in Woodley, and those needs we're talking about are thousands of miles away, and it's just so tempting humanly to think, how can we possibly help other people in those sort of situations? But one of the reasons why we read those verses from John about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is because underpinning that miracle was a very important principle, because we don't have very much to bring. But whatever it is, God can use it. Whatever we can bring, God can use it. And this doesn't just apply in this sort of circumstance. It applies on a daily basis. Whatever we can offer to the Lord day by day, however little it is, he can use it. It might be just being friendly with people who are lonely. It might be sharing with people who are in need. It might be praying with somebody who is desperate. Whatever it is, on a daily basis, we can follow the principles which are to some degree are within this miracle. Because that miracle started, or rather did not start, from nothing. The interesting thing about the feeding of the 5,000 is it wasn't as if Jesus produced loaves and fish from nothing. He actually started with what that small boy had brought in terms of loaves and fish. And that was, if you like, the small offering which he then willingly gave to Jesus. And from it, 5,000 people were fed. And I don't know about you, I have read that story of that miracle lots of times. But actually, it's what it's teaching us is that principle that we can, our little, God can use to make a lot. And the way I describe this, it's like God's arithmetic. You see, we work on the basis that 2 times 2 equals 4. But anything we give to the Lord, he works on the basis of 2 times 2 is 20 billion or even bigger. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think that this is a very powerful message to us today, because we all, many of you will be giving, I know, already to various things. And it's easy to think that it's not going to have much effect. But the parable of the feeding of the 5,000 is quite the opposite. In Jesus' hands, with his hand upon it, it's incalculable what can happen. So, we haven't finished yet, but I just want to think about asking you to have a look, please, at the leaflet that you received when you came in. So if you could just find that for a moment. This, please take this away with you. All right, please take this away with you. I've got lots of these. But this will just give you a summary here. And if you open, if you don't mind, if you'd be kind enough to open it up like this. You may be already giving to Tear Fund and or giving to other Christian agencies, and you don't want to give anymore, that's fine. But otherwise, you can respond in this in two ways, right? And by the way, I really like this. I really like this. On the left-hand side, if you decide that you don't want to give anything at the moment, but you do want to find out more information, what you do is you fill in the left-hand part of that, and you fill it in with your name and details, and I will send it back to Tear Fund, and then we've got people around the country whose job it is to answer questions, because I can't possibly cover all the aspects of Tear Fund's work and what it's doing, and I can't answer detailed questions because I don't work for them and I'm not an expert. I can't answer every question, but you may have got other questions that you'd like to ask, so you fill that in. And they will phone you and just say there's no obligation, but if you you know, if you do want to ask them anything else, then you can do. On the other hand, if you decide that you do want to give, and a few people often do actually, as a result of me doing this, then please fill in the whole lot, okay? You fill in your details there, what you want to give there, and then gift aid it there, okay? So if you want to fill in that, that, and that, and then you give it back to me at the end of the service, and in in about 24 hours, I send it off and let Tear Fund deal with it. It's no commitment to anything. That I've explained already. Now, I think it's also, for me, a privilege just to come along and share a couple of prayer items with you today. The work that's going on, that lady lives in a village called Hilibar in Chad. We've had some updates recently. The water that she's been relying on in locally, where she is, has become almost impossible to get hold of. But the local church is about a kilometre away, and they have managed to get down to the water table, and they have irrigated some land around the church where she and other families have been able to start growing vegetables, which I think is really encouraging. It's excellent. In another country, in a same area of sub-Saharan Africa, again, this hasn't hit the news, but if you look at the Tear Fund prayer diary, you'll see there's a lot of concern at the moment about Ethiopia. And one of Tear Fund's employees who works in the Slough area that I spoke to 2 weeks ago, last week he was out in Ethiopia seeing what was going on. And there's one other point for prayer focus, and this has got nothing to do with shortages of food or water, but has got everything to do with peace. If you're not aware, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there has been a civil war raging for a long time, and some estimates tell us that up to about 5 million people have lost their life in this conflict, which has been going on for over 10 years in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So in your prayers, please pray for that there will be a move towards peace. I have to tell you that I've really enjoyed coming today. Thank you very much indeed for inviting me. I'll be staying around afterwards, and if you've got any further questions, please ask me. Okay.